Okay, good evening. Okay, for some dedications. So who just spent an hour and a quarter at least in the base medicine this afternoon? What does that mean? You're falling asleep, okay? Okay, I'm not going to call you by name, but it's Yasher Koyach to those who put the extra time in. Very good, excellent. That's what it's all about. Very, very chashuv. I want to single out a couple of youngsters here. I want to share, I had a, Rory Morrison came over to me a couple of days in a row, like asking me for a meeting. And I finally we got to meet on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. We got to meet, I think it was. And he shared with me what I will call a his mission statement for the year. And very, very detailed, typed up, 3-4 pages long. And he had listed, enumerated goals in a lot of different areas. Goals in spirituality, goals in personal development, goals in terms of his exercise and health, just a whole slew of goals in all different areas. And then he had daily goals, and weekly goals, and monthly goals, and annual goals. And it was extremely thought through, and with a real vision of, like, I'll call it begin with the end in mind, of what he wanted to accomplish, what he wanted to achieve on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, on an annual basis, and in a lot of different domains, really put a lot of thought into it. And the truth of the matter is that's really what these days of Elul, Aser Simei Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah are about. These are days of thinking, days of introspection, days of figuring myself out, how I want to position myself, how I want to be better in all different domains, in all different areas, and then use that. A document is a great idea to then check yourself. Check yourself on a weekly basis. What are my goals for the week? Did I achieve those goals on a monthly basis? Did I achieve my goals for September, for October? And of course, on an annual basis, and to revisit those goals, advance those goals, definitely a very, very great exercise. I was immensely impressed, and that was very awesome. On the Shana Alo side, I want to point out just, again, concepts. The reason I dedicate the Sikha is to either somehow it'll come up in the middle of the Sikha with some relevance, or just kind of how I see, like, a person should be gearing himself. So two guys asked me about, like, the calendar and how many dap in a certain masechet, and two guys, Avi Cohen and Aryeh Seewald, I have taken upon themselves a goal, a very specific goal, to learn one Amud a day on their own of Maseches Pesachim. Now, Maseches Pesachim is about 120 or so block, not a short Masechet. But if you learn an Amud a day, that's 240 days. 120 times 2, 240 days. So that's a big, quite a project. That's a 6-month, that's a, what is it? 8-month project. That's a real project. I told them you're going to have to push it a little bit further, but the goal that they have for themselves is to finish Maseches Pesachim by Pesach. And again, it's going to take a little more than an Amud a day, but maybe at some point, Zion Kislev or so, they'll get into Daf Yomi a little bit, which is around the horizon. But again, the idea of being a makabel upon yourself, and I'm shouting them out publicly for two reasons. One is I think it's great, but now you're all, if they fail, every single one of you is going to look at them and say, hey, you said you're going to finish by Pesach. So what we've just done is we have set up a mechayev. We have turned them into, like, they don't have a choice now, because every single guy in this room is going to make fun of them bitterly if they don't succeed. So now they are absolutely forced to succeed. So that's very cautious. And then I have one more shout out, but I think I might wait a little bit. I'll get to that maybe a little later, or maybe not. We'll maybe stick it in somewhere. Okay. First, I want to give everyone a shout out. because to me, again, I walked into Rosh Hashanah not really sure how it was going to work out. Capsules and less rabbeim and, you know, just a different scenario. The first time we had a capsule kind of Rosh Hashanah, and to be honest with you, you heard this from Rav Seltzer, but I thought Rosh Hashanah was terrific. It was the energy and the ruach, and not just in the base medrash, in the davenings. During the breaks, there were guys in the base medrash learning. The seudas were tremendous. The Divrei Torah, the seudas were great. The shtick of the seudas, it was all very, 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 very compelling. It was very powerful. It really made me very proud. So I want to share with you a chashuva shout out that really very uplifting Rosh Hashanah. And, you know, as Rav Seltzer said, no different, perhaps even better than Rosh Hashanahs of years past. And that's a testament to the guys in this room and what we have over here and the energy that you bring to the table. All right, I will give the other shout out right now. And that shout out is to Gay Cohen. Gay Cohen came into my office this morning for a very, very brief little meeting. And he wanted to go through his schedule, to discuss his schedule with me, and different shiurim that he's in, and are they the right shiurim for him, you know, but his message to himself, and that's what I want to highlight, was, this is my year in Eretz Yisrael. He says to me, I don't know if I'm going to have more than 1 year. I mean, I do know he will have more than 1 year, but... But he says, this is my 1 year, and I want to take advantage, and I want to push myself. And even if I'm not ready to push myself, I have to make myself ready to push myself, because that's what I'm here to do, and that's what I'm here to accomplish, and this is the one opportunity to do so. So I'm just sharing with you that kind of attitude, that we're here with a mission, and we have things to accomplish, and we're not going to wait till Hanukkah to accomplish them. We're not going to wait till, you know, till the middle of Cheshvan to accomplish them. They're here to accomplish now. Every day matters. Every day is significant, and to really take advantage and to achieve and to push oneself should be everyone's agenda. Okay. With that introduction, I want to discuss a little bit, because this is my Sikha of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. This is my Sikha before Yom Kippur. This is the last time I'll address you before Yom Kippur. So I want to kind of, at least again, Yom Kippur is still a ways away. We're still at the beginning of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, but I do want to kind of put some ideas into perspective as we move and hurdle towards Shabbos Tshuva and as we hurdle towards Yom Kippur. And I want to focus a little bit on what is really the central avoda of Yom Kippur. Most of you will not be, you'll be like at this stage of the day, it's in the middle of Musaf, and it's in the Chazaras HaShatz of Musaf, where most of you, or many of you, or some of you, will be like a little bit toast. And, you know, it's like that part of the day where, like, we're starting to feel very hungry and fatigued, and it's been a long davening, we're not yet at Ne'ilah, we'll have a re-energize, and there's a fatigue factor that sets in, but nevertheless, it is probably the most important part of the Doraisa service of Yom HaKippur. And what I'm referring to is the Avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. In the Kodesh Kadashim, and it is the heart of what Yom Kippur is all about, and we don't always, again, as a part of davening that we don't always connect to, but I want to just kind of bring it a little bit to life and see what lessons we might be able to draw from. I'm referring to the Avodah of the Yom Kippur that's described in the Pesukim in Parshas Achremos, in the Mishnayos Maseches Yuma, which is the Avodah of the Shnei Seirim, two goats. And the Mishnayos teach us that these goats were absolutely identical in appearance. They same height, same color, same age, same size, everything about these goats, these were Gdansky goats. They were identical twins. And the Torah describes that each one would be lined up in the Azara, one So the Kohen Gadol was on each side of the goats, and there would be a Gorah, a lottery. And the Kohen Gadol would pick lots. And he picked the first lot would be LaHashem, and that would go to the goat on the right. The second one would be LaAzazel, and that would be to the other goat. And these identical twin goats had radically different destinies. The one that is LaHashem was marched straight into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Kodesh, was slaughtered. Its blood was collected, mixed with the blood of the power, etc., and was ultimately brought into the Kodesh Kadoshim, sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and that was the destiny of the Seir LaHashem. The other Seir was LaAzazel. LaAzazel is actually a modern-day like Israeli curse word, but LaAzazel means it went to a bad place. And it was taken, basically, this goat was taken out of the Beis HaMikdash into the wilderness. It was taken by a man who the Torah describes as the Ish Iti. He was taken out about 30 kilometers walk into the middle of the Judean desert, brought up to a cliff, and at the top of the cliff, this Seir LaAzazel was thrown off the cliff, and basically as it hurtled down the harsh mountainside, its bones literally crumbled into thousands of pieces. And that was the destiny of the Seir LaAzazel. Both are karbanos, and both were integral to the kapara of Klal Yisrael in on Yom Kippur. And the Mishnah is actually Chazal cite that the Goyim looked at this ritual and they mocked it. This is a chok, and somehow like the sins of the Jewish people were carried LaAzazel, and they mocked it. And they made fun of it, this ritual, which seems kind of preposterous. But there's clearly a symbolism here. And there are significant symbols and significant ideas. I want to share with you three, maybe four, ideas that are permeating the Shnei Seir, which is the heart of the Avodah this time. I'm going to start with the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim. Perek Mem Vav of the Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam says what this idea, the Seir LaAzazel, is a paradigm of how on Yom Kippur we deal with sin. We deal with hate, we deal with our flaws. And he says that when it comes to Yom Kippur, everything is black and white. Everything is either LaHashem or LaAzazel. And our sins are literally or figuratively carried on the Seir, and it's sent away very, very far away. But that's not enough, says the Rambam. You'll send it far away, 30 kilometers away, into the middle of the desert. But we all know that sin, if it's not totally crushed and not totally annihilated, sin has the ability to come back. Sin has a cancerous quality to it. And if it's not utterly crushed and expunged, sin can always creep back. So you send it far away, and then you put it on the cliff, and you literally throw it off the cliff till it smashes into millions of pieces. Says the Rambam, all year long, man has a great, great capacity to finesse his averus, to negotiate with sin, to perhaps rationalize his averus. When we rationalize, we lie to ourselves. We rationally lie to ourselves about what's really going on. And that's what we tend to do all the time. We rationalize. And says the Rambam, not today. Not on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, everything is stark. We wear white. We have clarity. We know exactly who we are, what we are, what our destination needs to be. And it's the choices are clear. LaHashem or LaAzazel. And we do our very best to clear the ledger and to get rid of not just get rid of a little bit, but get rid of totally all sin, everything. La'azazel. A young man in the yeshiva approached me very recently, very honestly, with a lot of courage to walk over to Rosh Yeshiva. He doesn't really know. And he says to me, I need a filter on my phone. It's a struggle. It's a problem. It's affecting me. I need a filter on my phone. Can you help me get a filter on my phone? It's a brave thing for a guy 2-3 weeks into yeshiva to walk into Rosh Yeshiva and go ahead and make that confession and make that request. But there's an understanding. I think this young man is saying something deep. He's saying that there's something incongruous. There's something that doesn't fit, that's dissonance. That I'm in a Beis Medrash, I'm learning Torah during the day. I'm in a shul, I'm davening to Hashem during the day. I'm in Rosh Hashanah, singing and celebrating my relationship with Ribono Shel Olam during the day. And at night, I'm exposed to the schmutz. And there's something incongruous. It doesn't fit, it doesn't make sense, it doesn't work. And he's right. There's a problem. And the Seer La'azazel says, yes, a person cannot properly and appropriately learn Torah during the day, have that on his lips, Torah Hashem on his lips and in his eyes, see the Gemara during the day, and at night, being exposed to everything else. There's something incongruous, and therefore, I have to get rid of it. I have to do everything I can. And yes, I'll fall, and yes, I'll slip, and yes, I'll struggle. But Yom Kippur in this time of year is a time where the rationalizing, where the negotiating, where the finessing with sin stops. I think the best muscle for this concept, to be honest with you, and I hate to bring it up, but I'm going to bring it up, is pandemics. I know of a school that one person, staff member, got sick and was exposed, became exposed. One person. Everyone else quarantined, everyone else clean. One person. One person was sick, exposed others. And now the school is struggling with it. It's struggling because, in a certain sense, one virus, one person, if it's not totally eliminated, it has the ability to spread, it has the ability to fester. And that is what the Rambam is saying. My mother, Aleha Shalom, passed away 3 years ago on Zayin A'ir. 5 years before her Ptira, 6 years, 5.5 years, she was diagnosed with cancer, stomach cancer. Not a simple cancer. And she underwent serious, serious treatment. Chemotherapy, radiation therapy, tumors were shrunken significantly, and the doctor said, good, this is working, and now we have to do surgery. The tumor was shrunken, and now we basically have to take out your stomach. It was localized to the stomach, we're going to take out your stomach. Okay, but I need a stomach. Yeah, modern science is such that they refashioned a mini stomach out of her esophagus and other, whatever it's, digestive systems. They gave her a little mini stomach. And it was great. Every year she had to go for a checkup to make sure she was cancer-free. And for 5 years, she was cancer-free. In the summer, 3 years ago, she went for a regular checkup, a colonoscopy, routine, nothing was going on. And the doctor said, I saw something, I see something, I don't know what it is. We did tests, and they did tests, and they couldn't figure it out. But they knew it was something. So November, 3 months after that initial surgery, they found something. They said, we're going to do surgery, Either way, we got to take it out, and then we'll really see what's going on. And that November, when they did the surgery, they opened her up and they saw that cancer was everywhere. Cancer was everywhere. And they told her there's nothing really they could do. They could make her as comfortable as possible, but her time was limited. I don't share this story with you because I want to depress you. But I share with you because these are mishalim. Because the nature of certain things, they spread. Chet spreads. And the lesson of the Rambam's position in the Sir LaHashem and Sir LaAzazel is to do everything we can to eliminate, because the nature of chet is it's like weeds. And weeds, I'll quote a man named Dag Hammarskjöld, who was the Secretary General of the United Nations back in the 70s. He writes as follows: you cannot play with the animal inside of you without becoming holy animal. Play with falsehood without forfeiting your right to truth. Play with cruelty without losing your sensitivity of mind. He who wants to keep his garden tidy does not reserve a plot for weeds. You don't just have a corner of your garden for weeds, because weeds spread. Weeds fester. And therefore, says the Rambam, on this one day, at least on this one day, we make the lines clear. It's black and white. It's LaHashem or LaAzazel. The words of Avraham Lichtenstein's Zatzal. Religion demands an axiological monopoly. Yichud Hashem means that religion alone has absolute and comprehensive value. On this point, there can be no compromise. A man's religion means everything, or it means nothing. And that's the vision of the Rambam in the Sir LaHashem, Sir LaAzazel. You cannot play with sin. You cannot say, I'm going to go on a diet, and I'm going to lose 50 pounds. And just an hour a day, 23 hours a day, I diet, and an hour a day, I pound junk food. It's not the way it works. Because the hour a day kills the whole thing. That is the vision of the Rambam. Now, Sham Shalfal Hirsch suggests another idea. And he says, the Sir LaHashem, Sir LaAzazel, they're identical. They're identical. And something as little as the lottery is the destiny of these Seirim in a fundamental way. A small little lottery is going to transform one to be LaHashem, to the Beis HaMikdash, Kodesh Kadosh, and the other one LaAzazel. Guys, ask yourselves a little bit, think about this a little bit. Some of you perhaps, and again, this is a weird year because of Corona, but some of you perhaps have some friends who chose not to go to Israel. Or perhaps have some friends who went, who chose to go to a program instead of a yeshiva. A choice that was made. And that choice that was made, what's the big deal? Program, yeshiva, what's the big deal? I'm in Israel. We're all in lockdown. What's the big deal? The answer is sometimes small little choices, small little deviations, small little things. When you played out 5, 6, 8 years down the line, it made you into a different person. You're a fundamentally different person. A guy who chooses to stay Shana Bet versus chooses not to, could be that decision. Could be a fundamental decision that's going to have ripple effects years down the line. It might affect the learning that a guy's going to do post-Israel, the quality of his learning, the level of his learning. It's going to affect his why you lander years, let's say, it might affect the kind of girl he marries. It might affect the kind of children he raises. It might have ripple effects far down the line. I said this over many, many years ago, this concept, and a Talmud said to me, he called it the angle theory. You can have an angle with two rays that are each 3 degrees apart. That's pretty close. But when you take those rays that are only 3 degrees apart, and you shoot them out 5 years down the line, they're going to be miles apart. Sometimes small little decisions that highlight who you are, your commitments, your hasmada, will have lasting impact. Chazal speak about this in the Gemara Matos. B'derech she'adam holech ba molichem osa. You get certain points in your life, you will hit forks in the road. Decision moments. And those decision moments become critical in who you're going to be. Decision moments and how you're going to project yourself. The derech she'adam holeg ba molich moso. You have a raft and you have two rivers in front of you. One is heading a little to the right, one's heading a little to the left. And you can put your raft in either of those rivers. And yes, once you choose the river, yes, you can probably with great effort paddle upstream and perhaps get back to the starting point if you made a mistake. That's hard to do. And most people do not have the strength and the intestinal fortitude to go ahead and paddle upstream. So when you hit those forks in the road, and this year is one of those forks in the road, how are you going to take advantage of this year? What are you going to do this year? You know, some of you, and I know it's hot in here, I don't know why it's hot in here, but bear with me. Some of you, and I know exactly who you are, struggle with getting to chakras. Some of you. And you might feel that, what's the big deal? It's a long year. I'll get there eventually. And yeah, whatever. Whatever. And I just want to share with you that you are. What you are is the moves that you make, is the decisions that you make, is the choices that you make. So if you choose laziness, if you choose to just go through the motions, so then that's who you are. If you choose to aggressively seek greatness, if you choose to aggressively be your best, if you choose aggressively to take that Gabe Cohen midah and say, this is the year, and therefore I have to maximize and do my best and take on more projects and use my Tuesday afternoons and accomplish everything I can accomplish. The accumulation of all of those moves is what makes a person great. And yet you might not, in any given morning, you might not find that davening terribly inspiring. I'm not promising that at all. But I am telling you that as you take those daily steps and daily commitment, you make those daily choices that I'm La Hashem, that accumulates. What's the big deal? Okay, I got to Minyan once, twice, I get there. What's the big deal? I'm a good person, I'm a fine person. The answer is, those small little things over the course of months upon months make you who you are and will determine the girl you marry and will determine the family that you have, the children that you raise. All of that goes to these core and fundamental ideas. Some of us are plagued with what I call a fixed mindset. And some of us are blessed with a growth mindset. Fixed mindset people, which everything can be changed. Everything can be changed. But fixed mindset people use words like, formulations like, I can't. It's hard. It's too much. And then you have a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah, it's hard, I can't, and it's too much. And the growth mindset people see the hard and the challenging as challenges, as opportunities. And yes, sometimes there'll be failures. And failures are springboards to future successes. And the fixed mindset mentality says, oh, that's hard. I'm afraid to fail. And therefore, I don't try. But the growth mindset personality says, hard doesn't scare me. I like challenges because I know that's where growth is found. Shot number three, approach number three. I'm going to call this the Ramban's approach. It's not really what the Ramban is saying, but you can read it in. You can call it the Isaacsonian approach. I'm going to give it to the Ramban, though. Who would you rather be? Let's look at these two seers, these two goats. One of them is Lashem, and out comes the Kohen's knife. And basically, the animal is bound, shechted, its blood is collected, and sprinkled on the mizbeach. That's goat number one. Goat number two is going to be put on a leash. I'm going to take a nice, breezy October walk in the wilderness. Sounds geschmack. A scenic stroll. And he looks at his brother, and he says, I won. Look what happened to him. Slaughtered. And I get to go on a teal. Yet, when you play the story out, and you see the destiny of the Seir La'azazel, in the wilderness, smashed to smithereens, and the destiny of the Seir, LaHashem, in Kodesh Kadoshim, doing the most exalted avoda of the Kohen Gadol once a year, he enters that place, and the Seir LaHashem, his ultimate destiny is Kodesh Kadoshim. So yeah, looks geschmack at first for the Seir LaAzazel. When you play out the story, it doesn't quite turn out as it looked. And again, I'm speaking about what I'll call sacrifice. Because to maximize our avoda this year will mean, if we're going to maximize, it means we don't get as much sleep as perhaps we would want to, but not because we're staying up till 3 in the morning watching whatever, but because we're in the Beis Medrash till 12:30, 1 o'clock at night. And we're waking up at 7:30 to be on time for 7:50 shacharis. And when we look at our roommate, who's still in bed, and we look at him perhaps jealously, longingly, oh, I wish, wow, he's so lucky. He's in bed and I'm getting up. The tables are turned. You play it out a little bit. And if we play it out a little bit, realize that perhaps at the end of the day, yes, it might not look as good in the beginning, but as I get into my learning, and as I appreciate the profundity and beauty of Torah Hashem, as I get into tefillah, and I appreciate what it means to have a daily relationship with Ribono Shel Olam, and as I get into my own personal growth, and I realize what that means, and I look big picture, long term, and yes, in Yom Zink, and I'll even say Olam Haba oriented, and I see what perhaps is going to be at the end of the tunnel. I don't have to go that far. I don't have to go to Omaha. I'll give you a muscle, another muscle, which I think brings the point home. You have a youngster, a 15-year-old, a 10-year-old boy, and he likes junk food. And at 5 o'clock, 5:30, he sees the Jelly Bellies, the big container Jelly Bellies, and he approaches the Jelly Bellies with two big handfuls as he starts to dig in. And his mother says to him, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Pre-dinner snack." And she says, "You're going to kill your appetite. Not happening." And she says, "Come on." He says, "Come on. Just give me some Jelly Bellies." And she says, "No, there's chicken and broccoli and whole wheat orzo for dinner. And that's what you'll be eating tonight." And he says, "No, I'm doing Jelly Bellies." And you know what mom gives him? So he counts Jelly Bellies. When the chicken, broccoli, and whole wheat orzo comes out, he's not very hungry, so he doesn't eat it. And that's his nightly routine. And this youngster grows up. He's 22, 24, he's 300 pounds. His teeth are yellow and corroded. And he's looking for a shidduch. And sure enough, he finds his match. She too. Bertha, too. She too is 300 pounds. She too enjoys her Jelly Bellies. And they live more or less happily ever after until they get to about the age of 40. And then his and her teeth fall out. Heart disease kicks in. And their children, by the way, also happen to be, shall we say, anyway. So that's one way the story could turn out. The alternative vision is the kid, the 10-year-old, the 12-year-old, listens to mom and has his chicken and broccoli. And he likes to work out, and he feels good, and his endorphins are flowing, and he's fit, and he's good looking, and he's lean mean, he's a fighting machine. And at a time for shiduchim. And he finds a chasid of meidel. And she has a... Anyway, they get married, they're healthy people, and life is good, life is healthy, life is a good kid, whatever. The story plays itself out. What's my point? So our little 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 15-year-old, he had geschmack. Jelly beans might taste better than broccoli. They really might. But what he did was, he basically seized the present, seized the now, immediate pleasure, and he sacrificed long-term, sublime, much more significant pleasure and meaning and happiness for immediate gratification and the pleasure of the sweets. And as a seasoned veteran at this point in my life, it's been around the block a few times, I will tell you that there are different pleasures in life. There are spiritual pleasures and there are physical pleasures. There are sublime pleasures and there are material pleasures. And the nature of those pleasures is material pleasures, physical pleasures are intense. They're immediate, they're high level, and they're short-lived. But they're intense. Sublime, spiritual, non-material pleasures are less intense. Don't have that initial spike, but they are long-lasting, they are deeper, and in the big picture, they are immensely more gratifying. And that's the struggle of Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov that dominates the human condition. It's the jelly beans versus the broccoli. It's easier to stay in bed. It's easier to sleep. And that's a pleasure that people enjoy. It's harder to get up. It's harder to die. It's harder to be focused on spirituality. But when you play these stories out 20, 30, 40 years down the line, when you become a husband, when you become a father, when you become, believe it or not, it creeps up on you faster than you think, and you start raising a family, the Torah values. You know what the best pleasure there is? Best pleasure, in my opinion. You have no idea what I'm talking about, because you can't. You can't relate. But the best pleasure that exists in the world, in my opinion, is nachas from your children. The best pleasure a parent can have. It's the most intense, not the most intense, it's the deepest. It's the most gratifying. It's the most fulfilling. And it's the one that is going to bring a father and mother the greatest joy and happiness. And Rachman will sound the opposite. When children are not in a good place, and there's struggles and there's challenges, and that's the most painful. It's the most painful. And at the end of the day, and you guys think like, what is he talking about? We're 18 years old. What are you talking about nachas from children for? What are you doing? So I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm telling you that I'm not here to tell you, so give your parents nachas. That's important. That is important. And you should give your parents nachas. It's the biggest gift you can give your parents. It's true. But I'm also telling you that as you, this year, Shana Av, Shana Bet, no difference. You are positioning yourself this year for your future. And when I say future, I don't mean just next year and the year after. I mean your future, your life. Your life this year was why it's so important and why it's so fundamental to be successful this year. And why you guys went through so much to get here and to be here is because it's going to position you, if you're successful, if you put in the work, it's going to position you for the rest of your life. And that's, don't get fooled. Do not make the mistake of the Seir, the Azazel, Seir Hashem, with a Seir Azazel who's taking a nice walk, a nice teal in the wilderness, and he thinks to himself, I won. The winner, at the end of the day, the long-term winner is the person who is doing the sacrifice, who's putting in the shvitz, the day in, day out. That's going to be your winner. That's going to be a long-term winner. The guy's eating the broccoli. Even if it's not as geschmack as the jelly beans. But yeah, when he's 50, when he's 20, 25, 30, 35, he will continue to reap the dividends of the healthy living. So Rav Osai, we shared three thoughts of the Seir Hashem, Seir Azazel. Thought number one was the Rambam. And the idea is that on Yom Kippur, at least, on these days of Aseret Yemei Teshuva, yes, we try and avoid pasakel. We want to be black and white. We no longer negotiate with sin. It's clear. It's white. We try to get rid of, unequivocally, the avarice in our lives, the weeds in our lives, because we know that weeds have the ability to fester. One person who's infected can spread to others. Weeds spread. Weeds are cancers. Thought number two is that of Rav Hirsch. Small decisions, but day in, day out, start to accumulate and start to make a person who he is. Something as little as a lottery. When you play it out, years down the line, is going to be fundamental. The small decisions that you make every single day start to forge who you are as a person and have long-term ramifications. And lastly, don't get fooled. It's tomorrow morning when the alarm goes off and your roommate's in bed and you're about to get up and you have that pull. Well, he's got it much more gishmak. He's staying in bed. Well, let's start even tonight. It begins tonight. When you could get to sleep at a decent hour so that you can wake up. And when it comes to your Tuesday afternoons, and when it comes to your 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, how you're spending your time, maximizing your opportunities, taking on new projects, finishing Maseches Pesachim by Chag HaPesach, finishing Maseches Megillah by Purim, finishing Shas Mishnayos by Shavuos, making sure you're going through Parashas HaShavua every single week. There's plenty of things to do. Picking up a sefer like Olam HaMidos to work on your midos. See how you can help a friend. Taking the opportunities that are there for you and realizing that real growth comes from real schwitz. Nothing comes from being too relaxed, too lazy, too passive. It comes from schwitz. So I'll give you all a bracha that we should schwitz. We should take advantage. We should learn the lessons of the Seal Hashem, Seal Azazel. We should gear ourselves to La Hashem, to sacrifice, to Mesiris Nefesh, because at the end of the day, we'll reap those dividends. We'll see the growth, both in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba, Be'ez Hashem, and it'll give us the power to go into, to build off the amazing Rosh Hashanah that we had together, to hopefully day by day utilize our Aseres Neshuva, and then hit the crescendo of Yom HaKippurim, and at Ne'ilah, be able to proclaim with great confidence and great emuna, Hashem Hu HaElokim, and be properly aligned to Hashem, with Hashem, and be zoche to have a Gemar v'chasina tova and a Shana tova. Hi guys.